is Over the Garden Gate, a program brought to you by the University of California Cooperative Extension Master Gardener Program of Tuolumne County. The mission of the UCCE Master Gardeners is to provide research-based gardening information to the public. If you would like to contact our Master Gardener Program, please call our hotline, which is area code 209-533-5912. The hotline is not manned full-time, but we do pick up our messages and we will get back to you within the week.
Hello everybody, this is Debbie Powell, the Master Gardener Coordinator for both Calaveras and Tuolumne County. And I'm talking with Linda Reedley, a Tuolumne Master Gardener. I should have mentioned that in some of our other talks. Linda's been the past president. She's got so much experience with growing plants and being a master gardener. So, Linda,
Hi.
It's always fun to talk with
you. Oh, it's so nice of you to say so. It's so nice of you.
But what are we going to talk about?
Well, today we're going to talk about something you should be doing right now if this is your life plan, which is how to go about planning for your home orchard.
Oh.
And this time of year, and when we record this, it is in fact late fall, is the time of year when you've got to get your planning and your base work done because the trees are ready to plant in. Are you ready for this? January.
Okay. Why January?
It's when the bare root trees come from the nurseries into our local nursery.
Oh, okay.
The big nurseries send them out
in January. And bare root meaning that they're not in pots.
They're not in pots. They have been grown in fields. They are pulled up out of the fields, trimmed, and bedded in sand. And then box up with their sand and taken to nurseries.
Uh-huh.
And we have a number of places where the trees are grown in our basic neighborhood. And some of the best fruit trees in the world come from very close to here.
Oh, good.
So you can get the good ones and you can get them here.
Okay.
And that's something to really consider. So, but you really need to think about a few things. Why do you want to have a backyard orchard? Some of us remember having a few fruit trees in our yards when we were kids.
Right.
How much fun it was to pick cherries or peaches. Some of us want to make jam.
That sounds
and
good.
And jelly.
That's true.
Always a lovely idea.
It is.
Or even make canned fruit. My sister-in-law who lives in Oregon. No, she lives in Idaho. Very close to Oregon, but in Idaho.
Right.
She and her daughters put up incredible amounts of fruit. They bought over 2,000 pounds of apples last year.
Wow.
A lot of it they made into apple cider, apple juice.
Okay.
And a lot of it they made into various kinds of preserved apple products. But I don't know if you want to spend your entire summer canning, which they do, or not. So you need to consider these things when you plan your orchard. If you don't want to make 200 billion pounds of applesauce, really think about how many apples you're planting.
So instead of planting maybe 20 apple trees, maybe consider planting...
Okay. Two.
Two.
Maybe
two.
Three.
Three.
Yeah, apples have an inordinate amount of variety in type and flavor, and so you might want to plant one apple tree for just the apples that you love to eat.
Okay.
Like the Honey Crisps and some of the newer sweet varieties that are so delicious.
Oh, they are.
But there are other apples that are great for cooking. Granny Smith and several other varieties were found in an abandoned orchard in New Zealand and were sport.
Oh, really?
And this one orchard that had just been completely abandoned for over 50 years had these things that had come up from the ground that had been crossed, natural crosses.
Right, right.
And there they were.
Oh my
and
gosh.
Just another tiny word about apples since I love rambling. When I taught it was called bird walking. Apples left to their natural produce only produce ones that make good eating apples maybe 1 out of 100 times from the seed.
Oh.
We just don't produce apples from seed because it's very chancy.
Okay.
And we all remember Johnny Appleseed and planting
right.
things in bags of apples. He was actually planting apples not for people to just eat, but for them to make cider from.
Oh.
Because a lot of these sort of crosses and mixes and stuff make perfectly fine cider, but they're too small or too hard to eat.
Okay.
And we're not talking sweet cider.
Oh.
We're talking about alcoholic cider, which was considered a health beverage by our colonial ancestors.
How interesting. I did not know that.
Fermented drinks, like many other fermented foods,
mm-hmm.
carry their own levels of bacteria and yeast.
Okay.
And rather than going bad, they just stay the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
And that made people feel that they were healthy.
Oh.
Our ancestors drank a lot more alcohol than you would even imagine.
Well,
children drank alcohol.
Wow.
Because it was cleaner than the water.
Oh, I have heard that. And I know, in fact, at some points within our history, that beer was the preferred
yeah.
drink over water, just because the water was polluted.
Bad. Yeah. Because you boil the water when you make beer, you've taken down the bacterial content before mm-hmm. you get the yeast and growing in it. So, yeah, beer was a lot healthier.
There was a lot of reasons to grow apples.
And apples.
Right.
Exactly. So you want to plant your orchard. Well,
okay.
Why? What is it you hope to get out of it? What kind of things would you want in your orchard, Debbie?
Well, I'm thinking I would like a few trees, but not a lot of trees. And I know this sounds bad, but I'm probably not going to be canning, just because I just don't have that kind of time.
Have a busy life.
Right, right. But I mean, I love the fresh fruit. That is just unbelievable.
Nothing quite beats fresh fruit off the tree.
Absolutely
nothing. I agree. So when you think about that, for you probably, maybe 3 or 4 trees would be an adequate number.
I think so.
I like making jam and canning, so quite frankly, I have at this point 21 trees.
Wow.
Most of which are either cherries or nectarines.
Okay.
My husband and I love cherries, and without any exception, he loves the nectarines almost more than any other fruit.
Oh, they are so good.
They are good, and we have varieties that take us over a period of time. When you plant your orchard in our area, there are a number of places to get some good advice. So I'm going to send you all off to get your pen and pencil while I just chat with Debbie for a minute, because I want you to write some things down.
Uh-oh, homework.
Okay. Homework, yeah. Homework. And let's talk about, while people are getting their pen and pencil, these trees that you can get that have grafted varieties from different kinds on them.
Okay.
They're called 3-in-1s or 4-in-1s.
Mm-hmm. Right.
These are brilliant for the backyard orchard, because you probably don't want 50 pounds of one kind of apple.
Okay.
You probably would like 15 pounds of one kind of apple.
That it sounds great.
And these 3-in-1 and 4-in-1 trees that they produce apples and sometimes peaches on are great choices. So do think about looking for those.
Okay.
If you're planning a small orchard just for your family to enjoy fresh fruit.
Sounds good to me.
They are. I mean, it's really clever and it's really smart. They just graft branches from different kinds of trees on one rootstock, and away you go. You have a tree that makes different kinds of fruit. Very clever.
Love it. Love
it. Very clever. Now, our favorite organization, UCANR, or the University Department of Agriculture and Natural Resources, is a real developer and proponent of orcharding, both for commercial and for the home orchardist. And they have wonderful things online. Today I'd like to suggest that you look up the UCANR site called Home Orchard, one word, homeorchard.ucanr.edu. This website will give you a lot of really good, straightforward direction about how to get started planning and installing your own orchard. And because we live where we do, which is not in the city for the most part of us, but out a bit more in the country, where when you look around the corner, you're likely to see a deer looking back at you, you really must think about putting in a fence to start with.
Well, and when you're talking about a fence, and I know there's so many people that have problems with deer, what type of fence and how tall?
Sturdy and 6 feet.
Probably maybe even taller.
Could be even taller, although there's ways to get around the taller. My fence is only 6 feet tall. I don't have a lot of trouble with deer, but it currently has PVC pipe structure throughout the entire orchard that holds up bird netting in the summer.
Okay.
And that white PVC near to the fence had, makes deer think they can't jump in.
Okay.
Because they're afraid they'll get hurt.
Right. But if you don't have that PVC,
you can put sticks on your posts.
Okay. To extend it.
To make it seem taller. Mm-hmm. And then put little bits of mylar to chase the birds away. Or even some thin fish line. Because the minute they hit the fish line, that's the last time they try to jump in there.
Right. Right.
It really will stop them.
Oh, good.
So plan for deer.
Plan for deer because they're going to come.
They are. Plan for sunshine.
Oh, good point.
Orchard trees need sunshine. They don't do well planted under your neighborhood oak tree.
Okay.
You've got to get them out where they get their own sunlight. And orchard trees need water, which your oaks don't. Mm-hmm. Water in the summer will kill your oaks.
Right.
A summer without water will kill your orchard.
Right.
So you need to plant away from your oak trees.
Okay.
I've seen lovely orchards planted on hills. I wouldn't recommend a very steep hill just because my experience is it's too slippery to pick fruit.
Right.
It's easy to pick the uphill side. It's a bear to pick the low hillside. and you're just all the time falling down the hill.
Oh,
which is,
no.
You know, Jack and Jill have nothing on me. I get real bruised up. But this website I've just given you will give you a lot of information about tree spacing, how to augment your soils. My orchard is in a clay area.
Okay.
It's a low spot on my property where at some point there was probably a little pond.
Oh.
We spent part of the, starting this time of year until our trees came, which was the 1st of February when we planted them, we spent a lot of time digging mulch and sand into that clay.
And why did you use those products?
I used this clay. Well, the clay has very small, dense particles, and water adheres to those particles, and it's always dampish, and that's not healthy for your trees because they need oxygen at their roots as well. Pure water, it doesn't suit. You have to have air and moisture.
So that combination.
So I put in the sand to break up the particle size and make larger spaces.
Okay.
And then I put in the mulch. To break, and it breaks down. It takes some nitrogen to break it down, but you can add nitrogen at that point.
Okay.
You could add manure. You could even add inorganic nitrogen. And those things create a soil that has texture.
Okay.
Appropriate to trees' growth, which is softer, a little more open soils than things that are really hard.
And do they grow better if you give them what they want?
Much, much better.
Okay.
In fact, they grow successfully because sometimes they won't take at all if it's not at least semi-right.
Right.
Another thing to think about is that a lot of our soils are depleted in potassium.
Oh.
Oak trees suck it up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we've all had oaks wherever. If you live in the foothills, you've had oaks grown on your property at some point.
Right.
You need to consider that as well.
Okay.
And the best place to find those fertilizers are at agricultural supplies. I use one in Modesto. It's a huge ag store. You can buy organic compounds, or inorganic compounds actually, because it's mineral. But don't think of it as like not real or plastic or dangerous. It's a mineral. It's a mineral that plants need, and it's perfectly okay to get it in a bag.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be ground up bones, which isn't a particularly great idea.
Right.
Especially because, boy, will that attract mice.
Right.
So think about what it is your plants would need to be successful and make sure you have enough of it. And your county ag agent can probably let you know what your soils are in your area.
Well, there's also, and I'll make a plug
for it. Oh,
that's
true.
The new soil survey. So
that's
you
right.
can go online if you just even Google Tuolumne County Soil Survey. It's brand new. It's been out for maybe a year,
and it's a great map.
It will give you so much information. So I would highly recommend going there.
Right. So that would be Tuolumne County Soil Survey.
Yes.
And you'll find it in your search engine. The other resource I want to recommend is the Home Orchard, Growing Your Own Deciduous Fruit and Nut Trees. This is a beautiful book put out by the University of California. It was written by Chuck Ingalls, Pam Greisel, and Maxwell Norton. And these folks know their business. And this is probably the most perfect book for Northern California you could imagine. It covers every subject you'd need to know about your home orchard, what kind of trees to plant, where to plant them, how to take care of them, how to make sure that they're successful for you. And so I would really look at this book. Things to think about when you decide your list is, what do you want this fruit for? What kind of fruit do you like? Mm-hmm. You know, do you think you need to plant almonds?
Well, if you like almonds.
If you almonds, they're hard to process. Yeah. It's probably cheaper to buy them.
Yeah,
but you could plant almonds. Apples, on the other hand, mm-hmm. are fairly large, totally delicious, and fairly easy to grow. Apricots. Mm-hmm. I like apricots. You want to look for specific varieties in our area. Some are better than others. Sour cherries. I see so many people who try sour cherries who have terrible luck. I've had great luck with sour cherries, but I'm growing one that will grow where it's warmer.
Oh, okay.
And one of the two I grow is a Montmorency. Mm-hmm. It's a European sour cherry, and they grow well where it's a little bit warmer.
And now, Linda,
and I'm getting good crops on it.
Now, do they have certain varieties for a certain amount of chill hours? I mean, some of these fruit trees.
Now, in order to grow fruit trees, most fruit trees, each variety has the number of hours it has to be below 45 degrees.
Okay.
And it can be warmer in the daytime, lower in the nighttime, average 45, except that it's got to get below 45 to actually count. Mm-hmm. Or it can be one whole long period of under 45, which is really perfect. Mm-hmm. And some trees have greater chilling hours than others. And if you look, you can find these lists online. There's a really good one in the book we just recommended, the Home Orchard book. Mm-hmm. Dave Wilson Nursery gives you chill hours for
all of
it.
And that's a wholesale nursery.
What?
That's a wholesale nursery.
That's a wholesale nursery with a great website.
Right.
And you can buy their fruit trees at various garden supply stores mm-hmm. in our area. But their website is absolutely worth looking
at. It is. It's a wonderful website.
It's terrific. You can plant sweet cherries or chestnuts mm-hmm. or figs, hazelnuts, kiwi fruit, olives. I know several people have olive orchards here. Mm-hmm. Which is pretty clever. Peaches, nectarines, pears, Asian pears.
Asian pears are great.
Asian pears are delicious.
Oh my gosh, love them.
They don't preserve well. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot you can do with them besides eat them, but boy, they are good eating.
They're delicious.
Pecans, persimmons.
Mm-hmm. Oh, love persimmons.
We have great persimmons. We grew up great place to grow persimmons. Mm-hmm. Pistachios.
Oh.
A lot of places around here you can grow pistachios. American plums, European plums, and Japanese plums, all of which are different.
So I should bring this up. When you're picking out your trees, are there some types of trees that need help pollinating?
There are. And this is called the pollinizer issue. Some trees, particularly plums and cherries, only accept pollen from a different kind of tree, not itself.
But of that same species.
But of the same species. So with sweet cherries, for instance, if you have a Bing, you might need a Lapine to pollinate it.
Okay.
Which you need to look up. Again, Dave Wilson or the Home Orchard book, either one will help you figure this out. But sometimes you need to have two in order to make it work.
Okay. Or maybe your neighbor, if you're not too
far away. Or your neighbor
away.
might have the right kinds of trees.
But bees are... are pollinating.
These are our friends, and they're carrying the pollen. They're the pollinator, but the pollinizer is that other fruit tree that produces the appropriate pollen to set fruit on your fruit tree.
But how far will the bees travel? I mean, they're not going to travel 5 miles, are they?
Yes.
But, they will?
But generally, for really good pollination and really accurate pollination, probably two and a half miles.
2 miles. So if you've got a neighbor and
with
they
bees,
have a...
yeah, you can be fine.
You're going to be fine. You don't have to worry about it. So bees, you have to know your neighbors. And
you
what
should know what your neighbors are growing.
and their fruit trees.
And, you know, this year I have three things. I lost two plum trees. And we don't know what happened. They just died.
Oh, just goodness.
Dead. Unfortunately, one of them was the pollinizer for my other plum tree, the one that's still alive, the one that died. And for an interspecific called a pleurie, Ooh. Which is a cherry plum hybrid, which wow. made beautiful fruit this year.
Oh my gosh.
Fortunately, the tree that I needed didn't die till after this uh-huh. all happened. But I need now to find a specific kind of tree to make all this work again, and that's called a burgundy plum.
Oh.
And they're quite popular in Southern California, so if nothing else, I'll have to order one from Southern Cal.
Okay.
But you really need to know all this stuff in order to be successful.
You just can't throw some trees out there and
you can't just,
and hope for the best.
You know, it's not a great idea to just wander over to the nursery and say, "Oh, that's pretty, I want that."
Right.
Really, you need to take the time to look your information up.
Okay.
And make some sense out of what you're reading. How we plant the trees and where we plant them is a whole other issue. I have a special kind of orchard planting system where my trees are very close together.
Oh.
Much closer than the old systems had them, because we prune our trees all summer long.
Oh.
Summer pruning is very healthy.
Okay.
The old styles, "Oh no, you can only prune the tree when it's mm-hmm. dormant," is just bunk. And quite frankly, pruning trees when they're dormant isn't necessarily the best idea, because that's when you get more fungus infections.
Well, they're for a few types of trees. I mean, it's essential. Peach trees, just don't ever even try to prune it in the wintertime.
No, leave them alone.
Just
because.
If they're
going to get, yeah,
right.
The fungus will get them.
Right, so.
Peaches and nectarines are like that. You just don't want to spring prune them. You need to wait till they've got leaves.
Right.
Before you start hacking on them. It just is not a healthy plan.
Because you have open wounds and there's just so many diseases that can enter.
That settle right in.
Right.
Exactly. You're cutting your tree.
Right.
You know, you're cutting
and,
your tree.
And the good news
is, it needs to be protected.
Right. And the good news is the Master Gardeners are here to advise you on how to prune. In fact, one of the largest workshops that they give is at our Open Garden event, which is the first Saturday in February, and we talk
pruning.
About pruning.
Right.
So we kind of cover those subjects, so
yeah.
we may not be able to
sometime,
cover it today. But
sometime maybe this summer we'll have an open garden where we talk about summer pruning.
Yes, yes.
But my orchard is doing real well. I have an 11-foot, well, let's see, it's 11 feet tall
mm-hmm.
structure that goes over the entire orchard. I don't let the trees get over about 8.5-9 feet tall.
Now, why is that?
Well, I don't like to have to climb on ladders to pick, basically.
Okay.
But I don't want them growing up into my bird netting either.
Okay,
because
good
it
point.
Destroys the bird netting. My orchard is covered with one continuous piece of bird netting that was ordered from China.
Wow.
And it kept the birds out beautifully this year. Putting up the structure and getting the netting up there to start with was a lot of work. But now we have a system, and now we know how to do it, and it's a great idea. If you have an orchard, try to plant much of it together so you could create a bird net structure.
Okay.
Because it will make a big difference.
That's a great idea. But what if you have only just one tree and you want to protect it? Just get some bird netting and just cover?
You can get some bird netting. You can just cover the tree itself to try and protect the fruit. The one thing to be aware of is, if they want to get in and you don't have that netting tied up tight around the trunk at the bottom, they're going to get in.
Oh, and then they can't get out.
And then they can't get out, and then you have to go rescue them.
Oh,
I
gosh.
Ended up cutting some holes in netting last year just to get little birds out.
Oh.
I didn't lose any little birds, though.
Oh, good.
But
very
I had to do
good.
A lot of netting mending.
Oh, gosh. Don't want to do that.
Yeah, we had this lovely little bird get caught. She was the cutest little thing, and very long claws on her little tiny bird feet.
Oh.
And when I would hold her in my hand while I was cutting her out with a old pair of scissors, I could feel a little heart beating.
Oh.
And she had her little beak hung on my finger. She
oh.
was just hanging on.
Oh,
and
gosh.
The minute I covered up her little eyes with my thumb, she just relaxed in my hand.
Oh.
And I thought, oh my gosh, I've killed her. But I finished trimming her out,
mm-hmm.
and I got out. And she looked up at me with her little bright eyes. So don't just throw birds like this up in the air, guys. Sometimes they plummet to the ground, and then you'll really feel bad.
Oh.
So I just took her over and set her down on the driveway, and she flew away, and she's been flying, was flying around my yard most of the summer.
A happy story.
Happy story. And she was a nuthatch, and they're very cute because they're the only birds
mm-hmm.
that land upside down on trees.
Oh.
They're the little gray
oh.
ones with a lighter gray spot
yeah.
around the eye. They're beautiful.
Oh, they are beautiful.
So home orchards are delightful. I absolutely love mine. We tried blueberries and grapes in the orchard and have decided that was a total mess and we shouldn't do that. Just leave your orchard for the orchard. Think about when you put it in, putting in a drip system right then.
Oh, good point.
Because you will probably be using your drip system to water your trees. Don't put in ground drippers. Because if they go bad, you can't see them down under the mulch.
Oh, good point.
And you can lose a tree pretty quickly in the summer if it's not getting watered.
Ah.
Put in drippers that are above ground so you can see what they're doing.
Okay.
Because it makes a big difference.
How much water? I mean, that is always the question.
It's a pretty good commitment. We have 10,000 gallons of water in tanks on my property that we collect off our shop roof.
Okay.
Which is legal.
Right.
And we use that water to water our orchard entirely. And it's gravity feed, which is pretty cool on my property.
That is very
property.
Nice.
Although you can legally use a pump.
Okay.
Ours is gravity feed. And it runs things called wobblers, little sprinklers called wobblers that are just absolutely fabulous for this kind of purpose. But we use that water up by about the 20th of August.
How often do you water the trees? Is it every day or every every couple days?
Oh, we water them when it's really hot, about every 4 days.
Okay.
And the rest of the time about once a week to every 10 days.
Okay.
Just depending on what's going on. We didn't water at all in May, obviously, because it kept raining.
Right.
But so that saved our water, which was good. But it was a hot summer, as you remember. So we watered a lot during the summer. And then we did use our city-provided water for a bit, too.
Okay.
And we have that on a completely different system. I have two sprinkler systems in my orchard. But it's worked beautifully.
Oh, good.
And it's been really effective.
So
and
you also have to plan for the water needs.
Yes, please plan for your
huge.
Water when you decide where and how to put your trees in. The other thing is people say, well, you can only put them in with the rows going north to south, or you can only put them in east to west. It doesn't matter overly much. It works either way.
Okay.
Put them in however suits you. But plant them in rows because it's so much easier to take care of them.
Oh.
And to pick
because,
the fruit.
Okay.
Because you've got your drippers underneath them.
Right.
Your watering system is kind of up closer to the trunks. Your fruit will be to the outside of that, so you're not falling over it. But you don't want to be diving across all your irrigation systems.
Okay.
You want to walk around to the other side
right.
to pick the other side.
Oh, good point.
And
good point.
Look up how to take care of them, how to pick.
Mm-hmm.
Picking fruit is a real art, you know. You have to learn
I
how
bet.
To do it.
I bet.
Well, but it's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
A friend let me pick the prunes off a prune tree she had in her yard.
Oh,
a European
my goodness.
Prune tree. Made the best jam I think I've ever had.
Wow.
Just as delicious. Perfectly plain, nothing in it but sugar and fruit and a little bit of lemon juice.
Mm-hmm.
And it tastes spicy.
Ooh. How interesting.
So, you know, the joys you can get out of having some fruit trees in your yard are enormous.
Aww.
And I recommend it highly to anyone. But, you know, and if you're not up to the work, don't go crazy.
Sounds like great advice.
Because you could, you know, there's just a limit.
Well, Linda, I hate to say, but we ran out of time. This
We've
has been wonderful.
Our limit.
That's for sure. I want to thank you.
You betcha.
And talk to you later.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Over the Garden Gate, a program presented by the UCCE Master Gardeners of Tuolumne County. I'm Linda Reevely. Thank you for being with us. If you would like to contact us for more information, remember you can contact our hotline, which is area code 209-533-5912, or you can look us up on the kaad-lp.org website. Look for Over the Garden Gate. Thank you.